Thank you, Mr. Shagley. Happy Sabbath, brethren. It just suffice to say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I hope everybody's enjoying his Sabbath. Greetings to those joining us on the webcast. This message came to my mind in March, and I was to speak the day I was preempted by the youth camp video. And then Mr. Nathan O'Malley, he did a split sermon recently about doubt and faith. And he focused mainly on faith. Nice message. So I reworked my message. The purpose of this message, well, actually, I'm going to give you the title first. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? The purpose of this message is to emphasize how doubt can interfere with our faith or enhance it. The sources of doubt that enter us or in our hearts now, and also going to give you examples of saints who have overcome doubt and persevered to the end, which is our goal also. Well, what is doubt? According to Merriam-Webster, there are two primary meanings. One, to lack confidence in, distrust. Example, I doubt the guy caught in the act is telling the truth. Two, to consider unlikely. Example, I doubt he can hit the bullseye from there. What doubt is not? It is not lack of faith. Faith comes from God. Godly faith is within us, those who are called. And that's what I'm talking about today. Doubt can come from the outside, and we must overcome doubt, especially in our spiritual life. Since we live for God, nearly everything we do in our lives has some spiritual context or connection, and we are walking with Christ and the Father, right? I'm going to turn to Matthew 14:31, the scripture with the phrase the title of this message comes from. The context is Matthew 14:10-32, and I will summarize. The day John the Baptist was beheaded by the command of Herod the Tetrarch, meaning ruler of the fourth part of the country, that's what Tetrarch means, and buried by John's disciples who then went and told Jesus. Well, Jesus right away went by boat to a deserted place to pray. When the multitudes, plural, heard it, they followed on foot from the cities, plural. When Jesus came out of his private praying place, he saw a great multitude, and he had great compassion on them. He healed their sick. Now, in this same section of scripture, we learn there were some 5,000 men other than women and children. It was a big group. Jesus did not speak in parables here, evidently, but he did move among them, healing people and talking. When it was evening, his disciples came to Jesus and said it was getting late and he should have them go away so they can go to the villages and other places to buy some food. Now, it'd help in this part of the message to elucidate, that is, to bring light to the definition of the term evening here. According to BibleHub.com, the evening was traditionally divided into two distinct parts. The first commencing at approximately 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and the second at sunset. Well, Jesus told his disciples the people did not have to leave. The disciples could feed them. They were stunned. They said, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, bring them to me here. Jesus had the multitude sit down on the grass. So obviously it wasn't a rocky, dirty place. They had grass there. It was great for all those people. So he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven to his Father, and he blessed and broke the bread and fish and put the food into baskets. He had the disciples go out amongst the multitudes distributing it. The food was offered to all. And when all had eaten and were full, there were 12 baskets full of fragments remain. What miracles! The healings, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish feeding thousands of people, had their full, so they were hungry. Well, the time must have been in the latter afternoon, and Jesus had the disciples take the boat to go to the other side of the sea, and he sent the multitudes away, and he went up the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, Scripture continues, he was alone there. This evening would coincide with sunset. The account says the boat was in the middle of the sea, being tossed about by the waves and stirred up by contrary winds. Well, this means the seas were heavy and the wind was contrary. The Greek word for contrary, G1727, enantios, meaning opposite, against, figuratively meaning antagonistic. Sometimes he doesn't roar like a lion. Sometimes he makes the wind roar, like here, or in a hurricane, a tornado, a waterspout and such. In the fourth watch of the night, which is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., Jesus was walking on the water toward them. So he had finished praying around 6 p.m., around sunset, and between 3 and 6 in the morning, he was walking towards the boat on the water. As he drew near the boat, the disciples saw him and thought that the image that he was seeing was a ghost or a phantasm in Old English. And they cried out in fear. Jesus immediately spoke to them. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now picture this. The boat was being tossed around by the waves larger than the boat, and the wind was blowing hard. Jesus heard them cry out, and he immediately identified himself. They heard him because Peter answered the Lord, saying, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Well, I don't know how loud he said it, but he said, come. Everybody heard him. Peter heard him. He got down out of the boat, from the boat, and started to walk to Jesus, standing on the water. The account continues, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he being Peter, Greek word is G2478, iskouros, meaning forcible, mighty, powerful, strong. So when he saw the wind boisterous, forcible, mighty, powerful, strong. Allow me to digress briefly here now. In John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, everyone who is born again is like the wind. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So back to Peter. But when he saw the wind, forcible, mighty, powerful, strong, his body buffeted, his clothing likely wet, whipping around, water drops slapping his face, and the waves. Can't forget about the large waves. He saw and he felt all that and became afraid. To feel and see those effects, Peter took his eyes off Jesus. And his world became his own, and he began to sink, crying out, Lord, save me! While reaching for Christ, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and raised him up. And he said here in verse 31, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The others came and worshiped Jesus and said, truly you are the Son of God. Peter had enough godly faith to believe Jesus and leave the boat and stand on water. Nobody else left the boat. Were they faithless? Can't say. I can't say that, I should say. They experienced the miracles with the multitudes. They heard his voice and salutation from the water and telling Peter to come. And they saw him rescue Peter and heard what he said to Peter. And they all experienced the calming of the wind, which allowed the sea to calm as well. By that time, all their faith was strengthened. Good lessons for those who were to become apostles. Now, what about Satan going around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour the called out ones? Did you know a lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away? Raise your hand if you knew that or heard about that. Well, that's according to two sources, lionstigersandbears.org, like all one word, up to 5 miles away. And interestingfacts.com, more than 5 miles away. That is loud. And the roar reaches 114 decibels at 1 meter. 1 meter is 39 inches. 39 inches. The human pain threshold is at around 110 decibels. 114 decibels is about 25 times louder than a gas-powered lawnmower, according to interestingfacts.com. Now let's consider Daniel in chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. He was one of three governors under King Darius the Persian. The other two governors and the 170 satraps, the King James Version here calls them presidents and princes, they conspired to set Daniel up by tricking the king to sign a statute forbidding anyone to worship a god or man other than King Darius for 30 days. Daniel prayed 3 times a day and was observed, and the king was informed. Darius was sorry about it, and he commanded Daniel to be put into the den of lions overnight with a stone over the mouth and the den and all the dignitaries' signet rings sealing the seal. Darius had the confidence that the God of Daniel could save Daniel and said so. The king also fasted and did not sleep that night or have any entertainment. Daniel was in the den of lions, plural, lions plural, who Satan intended to make an end of Daniel. Well, very early the next morning, he was right there. And with a sorrowful voice, he cried out to Daniel, asking if the servant of the living God was able to be saved from the lions. Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me." Well, the king was exceedingly glad, and he had Daniel taken out of the lion's den. The king gave a command for all those whose signet rings were in that seal alongside his, them, their children, and their wives be thrown into that lion's den. They were all dead before they hit the floor of that den, according to God's word. There was more description, but I won't go there. No injury was found on Daniel whatsoever because he believed in his God. Now, what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3? Now, these three men were Jews who were put in charge of the affairs in the province of Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden image, 60 cubits high and approximately 100 feet, and six cubits wide, approximately 10 feet. A Babylonian cubit is approximately 21.1 inches long. The Egyptian cubit is slightly larger. A cubit is the length from the elbow to the tip of the middle finger. Now, they would not worship the image, those three men. The king became enraged at them and their defiant behavior and had them thrown into a fiery furnace 7 times harder than normal. The valiant soldiers who threw them in, bound in all their clothes and themselves, died from the heat. The king saw 4 figures walking around in the furnace and told the 3 Jews to come out and bless their God. He blessed their God and declared the Jews would not worship any God except their own God. Eve, she had doubt enter her heart by Satan. As a snake, when she was told she would surely not die if she ate from that tree. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, as an Adam, all die. She died. In conclusion, what we learn here is God gives each of us a measure of faith. We are to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. If we keep our eyes on God, there will be less chance of doubt clouding the clear vision his faith brings us. Like when we hear something from a spiritual source, we know that it isn't what God's word says. We have doubt in our mind. That's God's faith telling us to doubt and what we heard and prove it, holding fast and sure the good and staying away from the bad. Let's do so, brethren, and persevere together.